Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Champions of Happy podcast, the podcast where I talk to my friends about what makes them happy, what makes them smile, and what brings them joy.
Hi everyone, James here, your host of the Champions of Happy podcast. This is the final Halloween episode. I know this is a little bit late, but Halloween isn't just once a year. It's all year round in your spooky hearts. Sorry for the delay on this episode. Life's been a bit busy. I've been singing with the London Gay Men's Chorus and we had our Halloween ball and it was amazing. We all wore Halloween costumes. We sang at the Alexandra Palace and it was incredible. I've been waiting to do a Halloween show with my chorus for so long and we finally did it and it was a blast. Hence the delay to this episode. But it's out now, and now you can really just focus on all the lovely spookiness. I'm joined by Jason, who was the original first ever podcast guest on the podcast, and he's back, and we cover the film Babadook. I am going to get on with the episode now, because today's a busy day, so I'm going to edit this in, post it live, and enjoy. Bye.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast, not for the second time, but for the third time. Jason, hello!
Hey, James!
Hey, how you doing?
I'm feeling very good, thank you. I'm so happy to be back and to see you again. It's been so long.
I actually haven't seen you in ages. I feel really bad about it. But that's because we live quite far away from each other now. That will change.
Damn you for moving!
I know, gross. So you were the very first guest ever on the Champions of Happy, so I'm very happy that you're back now to bring you back for this Halloween twist for the Champions of Happy, because as you know, this isn't normally what we do on this podcast. Normally I bring a guest on to talk about their life and their passions and their career and what they love doing and talking about what makes them happy. For Halloween, we're doing something different where I bring on past guests and I decide to scare myself by watching a horror movie that I've never seen before and then traumatizing myself and then talking about it afterwards as a bit of free therapy. So, Jason, before we get into the film itself, Halloween, fan, yay, nay? I know the answer to this already, but for the listeners at home, Halloween, yay or nay? Do you care about it? Is it a thing for you?
Jason is a huge yay for Halloween. That is like, it's like gay Christmas to me. It's like, it's the one day of the year where everyone can dress up as a total slut and be like total happy about it.
But you've had some pretty impressive Halloween costumes in the past, though.
Like,
there are two that are jumping to. I wasn't there when you wore them, but there are two that are jumping to my mind straight away. Before I say them, what have been some of your favourite Halloween costumes?
So my ultimate favourite Halloween costume that I have personally made by hand is a complete Oogie Boogie costume. I made it out of complete Hessian, and I made a full sculptured face, and it was in, I think it's about 5 different parts, but I wore it for a Halloween party at home. I didn't even get to take it out on the street, but one day it's going to make an appearance at Comic-Con, because honestly, it's one of my, it even glows in the dark as well.
Is it because it's made out of real Hessian? Mm-hmm. Is it not incredibly itchy and uncomfortable?
Well, it depends what you wear underneath. So I just wore a vest and a little pair of pants and it was fine, but overall it was pretty good. And yeah, I was very happy about that. So that was one of my main ones. What else have I done in the past? I've done Beast from Beauty and the Beast. That was a good one. I have done Winnie the Pooh, which was a very cutie one.
That was the second one that came to mind. But did you correct me if I'm wrong, did you bloody him up?
No, Winnie the Pooh was just literally just Winnie the Pooh. I actually like made full on like fur shorts, calves, boots, and little ears, and I wore like, I mean, infamous for a crop top, so I do love a crop top. So that was like the winner for me. Trying to think what else I've done in the past. What was the bloody one? So I did the Disney one was the Beast one. Oh my God. Oh, I went as a Minotaur last year as well with a friend of mine. So we were called Twinotaurs. So we both wore like,
nice. Yeah,
I mean, typical gay fashion, had like a harness and a mesh vest, but with like massive horns, but we were like identical. That was very cute.
Amazing. What are your Halloween plans this year?
So tomorrow, tomorrow is my rugby Halloween party. So we are taking over the RVT. The London Stags are taking over the RVT from 6 till 9 tomorrow. Having a bit of a break, going to the Cock Tavern, then going back for Push the Button. So there's going to be...
That is a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. There's going to be like, I think there's about 50 or 60 of us all dressing up and going to have our own Halloween party at the RVT. Woohoo! Oh, and then Sunday is very wholesome. We're going around a friend's house and just carving pumpkins and watching Halloween films. But I pride myself on my pumpkin carving. Like,
oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Previous years I've done Stitch, Ariel, Jack Skellington, Oogie Boogie, Michael Myers. I did Chernobog from Fantasia, which was like an ultimate of mine.
Yes.
I mean, this won't come out before I do it, but this year is going to be a Jaws theme. So I'm going to do the Jaws with the woman swimming on top and on the water. Ooh. So that is going to be my theme for this year for my pumpkin.
Amazing. Are you quite competitive with your pumpkin carving?
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, if someone does better than me, I'm like, okay, I need another pumpkin. Chuck it over. I need to do it again.
Friend of the podcast, Mikey, who's been a previous guest, he every year carves a different Pokemon into his pumpkin. I don't know if he's done one this year. I think he was planning to. If he has, he's kept it very quiet as to which one it's going to be. But he's very good. I keep mine very simple. Last year, I did a very basic Black Philip goat head with horns, which I was quite impressed with. But it's not like
goat
it's
head,
not like an artistic, you know, like a devil.
Oh, okay,
like Black Philip. I'm conscious. I'm talking really. I don't normally record in this room, so I'm conscious. I'm really loud. So I'm just gonna take one. Sorry. The neighbors are really loud anyway, so they can do with me talking for a little while. So you like dressing up? You like pumpkins? Generally, why was Halloween a big thing for your household when you were growing up, or is it more something you've taken as an adult?
It's a bit of both, really. Like when we was younger as kids, we used to always do it at home. We used to always do like the bobbing for apples. We used to go trick-or-treating around our friends and families and neighbors' houses, and it was always something that we used to do. I'm from a little like seaside town, and every Halloween they have something called the Guy Carnival, which is like Guy Fawkes Night, but it was just to coincide with Halloween. So it was a town tradition for everyone to get dressed up and just like walk down the streets like a big pride procession. So I think this is where pride started for little Jason, was when we used to go and march down the street just as little ghosts and ghouls. And yeah, I think that's where it all came from. So from that, it just spurred on bigger and bigger. And I'm a big horror fan anyway. And I mean, come on, James, you know I'm a huge like Tim Burton guy. So it all like adds together. And in the end, it's like, okay, so I'm a little bit of a kooky, spooky person.
You reminded me when you mentioned your hometown, because I was reading a book recently about witches from where you're from.
Oh,
the Manning Tree Witches.
Oh my God, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so I don't know why I'm...
So please tell me more about this, because when you told me they're from where... So I read this book about witches in the past. It turns out they're from where Jason originates from. I love witch. So I'm not a big fan of scary stuff, but I do love a witch story. So please tell me more. Okay. Now I've got you here.
Okay, so back in the day, there was even... Where do I start? Okay, so It's so famous, there was even a Most Haunted live show twice in different places near where I'm from. The first one was at the Redoubt Fort, which was the celebrity ghost hunting, where they used to go to the Redoubt Fort in Harwich, and they did like a whole seance thing. There was like Rylan and was it Gemma Collins? I can't remember. But there's loads of these like celebrities that went to visit the fort and go into, because I'm from a World War II town. So they used to go into the fort, go into the prisons and try and summon ghosts. That was one thing, which is great. The other one is Misley near Manningtree. And that is where the famous witch trials used to happen. And there was like witches used to get hung from the trees down by like the river. And to this day, there are still talks of witches and ghosts being walking down the street. I actually have a ghost story. Do you want me to tell you it?
Absolutely.
So...
Oh, actually, I'm... yeah, go ahead. I'm going to be scared, but yeah, go ahead.
You probably will be. So it was one that I was not aware of until after it happened. So I was driving home from Ipswich one day through Manningtree back to my hometown, and I was driving along with three other friends in my car. And I was like, oh my God, that person's walking along the road. Why are they walking along the road? It's so cold outside. It's really cold. And I was like, why are they just in like minimal clothing? And they were like, what do you mean? What person? I'm like, that person there, you know, that they're walking along that side of the road. And they were like, there's nobody there. I'm like, yeah, there is. Look, there's, and I actually drove to the next roundabout, flipped around, and actually drove back to try and like pick them up just to make sure that they were okay. And there was like, there was nobody there. And it wasn't until a little bit of research later that I found out that there used to be a hitchhiker murderer in that sort of like area. And it's called like the suitcase murderer. And I was talking to someone about it one day, and they said, did you see their feet? And I was like, what do you mean, did I see their feet? Like, did you see their feet? And I was like, well, no, they were just like kind of like walking along. I just saw them from like the knees upwards. And they're like, yeah, that's because that's a notorious ghost of the area, and you don't see their feet because they walk along the original footpath that used to be there, and that's why you don't see their feet, because that's naturally been built up since then, so they walk along the original path. I was like, oof. Creepy. Yeah, so the other thing for Misley as well is there's a woman that is apparently supposedly walking into the river of an evening. So if you go down at a certain time, you see her standing by the side of the riverbank, and she actually walks into the river and submerges herself. So yeah.
So do tell me your second ghost story, please.
So the other one I've got is I've got family that lives in America. So I went to their house. It was in my early 20s back in the day. And they live in the middle of a woods on the middle of a lake. Creepy to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was staying in my cousin's room, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was like, oh, I really need the bathroom. So I went into the bathroom. I opened up the door, which was a conjoining room, and I saw someone standing there. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then I was moving from left to right, and I could see someone, like a shadow, standing there. I was like, oh, okay, so someone's clearly standing there. I said, I'm really sorry. I shut the door and went back to bed. I was like, waited there for half an hour, then went back to the bathroom and went to the bathroom. And it wasn't until the morning that I was like, oh, who was in the bathroom last night? I was like, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to walk in on anyone. They were like, what do you mean? I was like, well, someone was in the bathroom. I didn't mean to walk in on them. There was someone standing there. And they were like, the conjoining door was locked. No one was in there. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, there was nobody in there. I was like, so who did I see there? Oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot to tell you, our house is like kind of haunted because we live in like the middle of this like woodland area. And it was a rebuilt house. I'm like, so who the hell did I see in that bathroom? And they were like, oh, there's apparently a ghost that lives on the top floor. I'm like, great. Thank you for telling me that afterwards that I went in there and saw this person. I literally, a full-on premonition of a head, shoulders, full-on body, was standing there. Yeah, that was kind of a one to talk about at breakfast the next day.
This feels like a silly question, seeing as you've told me this now, but do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe you really saw something? Or do you think it was a trick of your mind? Do you believe it to be real?
No, I do believe in... I do believe in like paranormal premonitions. I do believe that something must exist afterwards, but I believe it's more like energies. I don't think anyone's there to harm. Personally, I don't think that anyone's there to harm. I just think it's like there is residual energy that's left there, and that's what I saw. So, I mean, this person was just standing there. They just did nothing. Like, if they meant something, they would have come for me. But I'm a big old boy. They're not going to come for me.
I love the idea, though, of when, I mean, not, I don't love the idea of you being dead, but I love the idea of when you are passed, that you appear in your Winnie the Pooh Halloween outfit in the middle of the night as a ghostly figure. I was like, is that a scary Winnie the Pooh? Is that a friendly Winnie the Pooh? What is this? What's going on?
Let's face it. Someone's going to want to hug me if they see me in like a Winnie the Pooh costume. Let's face it.
I don't know. If I saw a Winnie the Pooh in the middle of the night while I'm trying to go to the loo, might not want to go. My instinct wouldn't be to hug the Winnie the Pooh. So that weirdly brings us on to your film of choice for the evening of ghosts and of all things eerie, The Babadook. This film was brought out in 2014. It's Australian. My only knowledge of this was, I didn't have much knowledge of this film other than the drawing of the Babadook. I knew of the sound that it makes.
Babadook.
Oh, God, that's not fun, Jason. I don't like that. but other than that, I didn't really know much about it. And I must say, so I've watched three films for this Halloween special. Sadly, we were meant to do a film on with the original Nightmare on Elm Street with former guest Ralph, but Ralph isn't feeling very well. So Ralph, if you're listening, I do hope you're feeling better. I have watched it. I do have feelings. So maybe we'll do, I don't know, a random Christmas Halloween episode with you instead. Who knows? I've watched it. I've made the notes. I have an opinions. But you decided to bring on the Babadook into my life. And I did enjoy it. It was scary. It's the only film of this, of the three that I've watched, in the four of that I've watched at night time, which probably didn't do it. I've had a fit to drink as well, which probably didn't help either. I'm alone in the flat. It's very dark. I've got candles lighting the place. My neighbour above me, our floors do creak a little bit. So every now
and then... knocking.
No knocking, just a bit of creaking when he's walking. I'm like, is that the film? Or is that my? Or is this real? Or is it the flat? Ah! So before we go into the film, can you first tell me your first experience of the film? When did you first watch it? What did you originally think? Go. Knock the camera over and the microphone while you do it. Was the Babadook.
It was the Babadook. I watched this film a few years ago, and I remember it being super, super creepy. The whole thing about this film, I feel, is all about the tension. It's all about the creepiness. There's not so much like there's no jump scares. There's no gore. There's no there's no in your face like horror. It's all about creepiness and tension. And I thought that would be a good thing for James to experience because I sent you a very short list of films that I felt, oh, James might like this. But then do you know how hard it was to not pick something that had gore in or too many jump scares that I was trying to be nice to you in some ways.
Oh, bless you. Everyone's trying to be really nice, actually, because my only two rules were nothing like Saw and nothing... what was the other one? And not Midsommar, because that's an instant no, and I'm never watching it. No torture porn. So everyone was really kind, actually, with their choices. This film probably scared me the most, I think, of the films I've watched. Oh, I've also watched Elvira, Queen of the Damned, but due to scheduling problems, like we just didn't, there wasn't enough time to record the episode. So hopefully we'll eventually get to do that with another guest from the past. But this is probably the scariest one. When did you first watch it? Do you remember where you were, who you were with? When? Was it a cinema outing?
No, it was not. I actually definitely watched it at home. I definitely watched it in the dark, and I definitely watched it after a couple of drinks. I just remember being completely creeped out by it because there was so much underlying issues there. So it's not just a pure horror. There was a lot about I suppose I can say it on here.
Yeah.
There's a lot about depression. There's a lot about grief. There's a lot about dealing with like issues that are going on in like the family, like hub and home. Mm-hmm. And because of all these things that are happening, that adds to the horror and the tension part of it. So it's not such as an in-your-face horror. It's more of an uncomfortable horror. So I love torture porn. I love gore. I love horror. I love being jump scared. But when something comes along that makes me just feel uncomfortable, that makes me think, ooh, this is kind of a little bit different. And that's when I watch Babadook. And it's got a lot of, the underlying issues are a big part of it. And there's so many aspects that have happened like since then that have made it into like sort of like a cult film. And I do love a bit of a cult film because it's a one-off. Like the director has said that they are never going to do a sequel at all. It's never going to happen.
You could with this film. No.
No.
You could, but you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. They've actively said it's never going to happen. This is it. This is the one and only time they're going to do it. Because basically they I think from what I remember reading, they made it because their actual friend had a child that had this imaginary monster called this like Babadook or something, and they actually made it into a film. That's where it came from. It was like based upon a true story.
So could you give us an overview of the general plot before we get into it, before we deep dive?
Yeah, before we go into it, it's basically the story of a woman at the very, very beginning of the film. She is in the middle of a car accident. At the first, you don't kind of know what's going on, but she's in the middle of a car accident. Turns out she's on the way to the hospital to give birth to her son. And in that car accident, her husband passes away. She gives birth to him. And then she is now living with grief and living with her son. And they go through this little bit of a journey. She is dealing with the struggles of like raising this child and dealing with the grief of like the death of her husband. And then she comes across this book, which comes out in the middle of nowhere. And it's called like The Babadook, which is a little pop-up book that she reads to her son, which turns out to be kind of true. In some ways, in their way. And then it's about what happens to him over the course of the journey of the film. Cumulating? Is that the right word? Cumulating?
Yeah.
In the fact that they're now living with it in their basement. so that is the very short story arc of it. There is a lot of things that happen in the middle, in between, which I'm sure we're probably going to go through. But at the end of the day, that is the long story short of it.
It's on the very basic level, it's a ghost story, but media had me, I mean, I think it's not like a hard thing to read into, but it's definitely dealing, it's like depression and grief and post-traumatic stress and trauma and embodied into this being, an entity, into the house. And I think you could easily say there was no ghost at all. It was all in this woman's head dealing with the issues she's got. But I'm going to take it as a ghost movie because let's not get too... It's a Thursday night at 10 o'clock. I've had a few gins. Let's not get too deep. Before we start, I think this film is scarier, creepier. Uh-huh. Not creepier. I think them being Australian and their accents really add something to it. I think if it was American or British or anything else, I don't think it would hit quite the way it does. I think their accents really, because her voice in particular, it is quite soft, but then there are moments within the film where it does get quite deep and heavy. And I think she's an incredible actress. I think she's quite beautiful as well. And, you know, yeah, I think she's got quite a beautiful face.
By the hair though?
Like, oh yeah,
I was like,
there's a lot of it.
The entire time throughout the film is like, is her hair nice or is it not nice? I'm like, does it look like she just put on like a random wig or is it actually like quite styled? I could not figure it out.
She hasn't slept, has she, for ages? So
she hasn't slept for 7 years.
She just wants a good sleep and a good bath and a good night's rest. And then her hair would look lovely. But so the film begins and they the boy's causing trouble at school because he's not fitting very well with the kids. He thinks there's a ghost in his house. He's trying to protect his mum. The mum is reading her son a storybook before bedtime. He picks one at random Mm-hmm. And it's a book she's never seen before. And the moment she starts reading the book, it's quite clearly a scary book because it's the way it's drawn, the font, the colour, it's all in black and grey. It's a bit Tim Burton-y, but actually quite scary Tim Burton-y. I don't know how she didn't clock sooner that this actually, maybe this book isn't quite appropriate for my child at bedtime. But then the child does like say, no, I want to read the story. But straight away, I was like, well, clearly this is not a good book. What are you doing?
Yeah, and she stops halfway, but the camera keeps going. It's like, if you deny me, then you would like see me, and then you will end up dead. It's like, oh, okay, so this is gonna carry on going.
Ooh, should I read the book?
Do you have the full blurb?
Sure.
Because all I have is the beginning. I only remember the beginning bit. Like, if it's in a word and it's in a book, you can't get rid of the Babadook.
The Babadook. If it's in a word or if it's in a book, you can't get rid of the Babadook. A rumbling sound, then three sharp knocks. You better run or he'll hold you in his locks. Ba ba ba, duck duck duck. Your closet opens and you're honestly hoping he won't hear a sound. But that's when you know he's around. So close your eyes and count to 10. Better hope you won't wake up again. Because if it's in a word or if it's in a book, you can't get rid of the Babadook. You'll see him if you look. That was really hard, all right?
Well done. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
They're clearly not a Disney princess story.
No. Where's the castle?
Literally, where's the prince, right? Where's the handsome prince? But, so, what adds to this film is... obviously, the child actor is amazing because... It's a really intense story. It's a really intense role. It's a really intense story, film to be part of, I'm sure. If he was my son, he would have been thrown out of that house.
But, okay, so the thing is, though...
He's so annoying, but it adds to it. I know why he's annoying, but he's still annoying.
Okay, so, yes, he's very annoying. He's very frustrated. He's very traumatic. All he ever wants to do, though, is show affection to his mum and save her, and she denies his affection all the time, which is so sad. She was like, don't do that. Don't get too close. It's like, he just wants to hug you.
Mm.
And she pushes him away every single night when they sleep in the bed. And I know he's got, like, boundary issues. I mean, there was that infamous scene where she's enjoying herself and he with the machine that is for... ladies or pleasure.
I think I must have blanked out. Was that the beginning?
Stop,
did
James.
I miss that?
Right, okay. So she is literally in bed. She opens up a little drawer. She pulls out a little machine from her
box. Oh, I did
grab
a gin at the start. Maybe this is when it was.
Oh, she pulls a little machine out of her drawer and she starts enjoying herself as any lady is entitled to. And as she's getting to that moment of enjoyment, employed words, he runs in going, "Mom, Mom, Mom, the Babadook."
Oh, I think I was getting a drink at that point. Well, at the beginning, he's dressed up in his magic magician's outfit and gold stuff. I didn't clock it at the time, but he strokes her face a few times and then he hugs her and then she says, "Don't do that." And I was a bit confused because had she done it straight away, I would have got it. But I think because she did it after the hug, then I was confused. I was like, okay, you don't like the stroking of the face thing. So there were issues with her as well and boundary and closeness and touch. But the way he goes on, "Mom, Mom, 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 Mummy," it's like it reminded me of that scene from Family Guy. Stewie from Family Guy. "Mom, Mom, 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 Mom." And Lewis just snaps, "What? Nothing?" And then runs away. I'm like, I can see why she gets frustrated. But then her sister is also a very not nice person.
She is not supportive in any way, shape or form. She's like, I mean, your husband's dead, just move on.
It's been 7 years, get over it.
I'm like, wait, what? You can't just say that to someone who's going through like trauma. But my daughter doesn't want to have a party with your son anymore. It's like, calm down. It's like the children.
Yeah. But also her daughter, so his cousin, is also horrible as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when he pushed her out of the treehouse, it's kind of like, we had that coming.
Yeah, your dad died didn't, so he didn't have to be with you. I was like, that's an awful thing to say to a child. Absolutely
Horrible.
awful.
Horrible. It did feel weird though when they're in the scene. They're the niece's birthday party. They're in the kitchen and the walls behind them are all white and it's bright. And I know it's to cause a distinction between their nice clean house compared to the other horrible, less nice house. But it also it felt like it almost the way they filmed it felt like a very different film. It felt a very different. It felt a bit cheap, that
Did you
scene.
not feel that all of the mums in the background looked like the Real Housewives of like Beverly Hills, and she was sitting there as like the little dowdy one with like the bad hair and the bad outfit, and they're all in their navy outfits that are all matching, and they're like, "My husband doesn't go to the gym." It's like, wait, so your problem is you don't go to the gym, and she's like, "My husband's dead." It's like, but they're all like prim and proper and prissy and beautiful, and she's sitting there with like looking like she's not slept for like 3 months.
A lifetime. There was a
Oh,
moment. Oh.
then the sorry
No.
the hardest moment of that film comes in that scene after that. After he pushes her out of the, I mean, yeah, he pushes her out of the treehouse. Fine, great. He sends her home,
It
and she's in the
wasn't that
car.
high though. It wasn't
No, I
that
know.
high.
But the part where he's in
Not
the back of the
encouraging that
car.
we throw children out of tree houses per se.
Oh, disclaimer. But when she's in the car with him, and she's like, "Why can't you just be normal?" And I was like, "Oh, that literally hurt me a little bit." I was like, "Nobody is normal. There is nothing. There's no such thing as normal. You can't be normal. Nobody is normal."
No, but
And
I do feel for her so much so because he's a real handful, and if you have not slept for that long,
true.
I was totally on mum's side. I really was.
But then she's like, "Okay, so I tell you what, let's go get some pills and make you sleep." I'm like, "Shouldn't you just go to therapy or like get your own pills so you can sleep yourself?" It's
Well,
like,
they tried therapy, but he said it was going to take weeks for him to like get on the list, didn't they? So.
"Oh, this is very true. Okay, my bad."
So there's a scene where she's actually she her job is she works at a old people's home where she cares for the elderly, gives them medicine, does entertainment. And there's a scene where she's doing bingo, and bless the old people, they're so not there anymore. They're not really paying attention, or conscious enough to understand what's going on. And I've been to now. She's just literally drawing the numbers 11, 6. I've been to enough drag bingo now to think you could make this so much more interesting. You could be having a great time right now. They might not be, but you've been having a ball. Lights, flashing colours, music. I mean, the old people in that room would not, it wouldn't be for them, but she could have fun.
After that part, oh, after that part, that's after she's ripped up the book and chucked it away and things like that. But then all of a sudden she gets the book back, and it's the pop-up where she it shows a different storyline from what she read with Sam at the beginning. So now is the pop-up where it's got a woman who then kills the dog, and then she kills the boy, and then she like slits her own throat. And I was like, that's very dark. That's coming from nowhere. So she goes and decides to like burn it out of like the middle of nowhere. So she goes outside and burns it, blah, blah, blah. It's great. So then she phones the police and says, "Oh, someone's like trying to like torture my house. Someone's like coming after me." And then she hangs up on the police, and then they phone her back, and it's like, "Ba ba do do do."
Listening to you do that while I've got headphones on is really unsettling.
Sorry. Oh dear, sorry. Okay, sorry. I'll stop that. I'll stop it. I'll stop it. I'll stop it. I promise. I promise.
It was horrible when she goes to the police though, and they're absolutely no help. Like she goes there genuinely asking for help, and they're just like, "Oh well, yeah, no, can't do anything about it. Like whatever." It's like, well, you could if you actually gave a damn, but and they didn't care. I felt bad for the her potential love interest as well.
I was in Robbie? Robbie? I want to say Robbie.
Let's say Robbie for this sake.
We gotta go for Robbie.
We're gonna go for Robbie. But yeah, he turns up at the house and he's like he gives her flowers and he gives the kid a toy because he thinks he's sick. And it's like, oh, it's a shame we didn't get to see more of him. But I also in a way it's a really small cast and it predominantly is just the mum and son. And
I like
considering he
that.
is a child actor, they do ba I mean, and as annoying as the role is, not the child, but the actual character is annoying, in my opinion. The way they act together, though, is incredible. Like, he, for such a young age, is so in it. And it's really impressive.
I think he was, like, I think I read that he was, like, 6 or 7 when they filmed this. They tried to dumb down some of the horror aspects of it, but they actually kept him in a little bit of a state of fear throughout some of it. But he was, like, 6, I'm pretty sure it was 6 or 7. Because they didn't want older kids in it, because they didn't want to look like they were acting. They just wanted to be a bit more natural.
Yeah.
And that's why they went with someone younger.
I'd love it. Well, I'd love to watch, like, a behind the scenes kind of, like, director's cut. Not director's cut, but, like, to see how they worked with him, to see how they got the best out. Because he is incredible. But he is, yeah. But the way he did his fits and his crying and his fear and his, yeah, he's really good. I mean, really annoying, but really good.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when we finally, the Babadook starts to actually appear, we don't see him a lot in the film, but there's a moment where she goes to bed and her door is quite far away from where her bed is. So it's literally across the room. And you see nothing except for maybe, I think it's like a torso or something. Or like
wait.
And it goes behind the door and it's...
The dog comes in first.
Oh God, the dog, yes.
Yes, it's all about the dog first. So the dogs always know. So the dog scratches at the door. She opens up the door. The dog comes in. She shuts the door. The dog gets in bed with her. And it's like, okay, this is all cute. And all of a sudden, the door just opens again. It's like, dogs always know.
What is the first thing I text you when we first started watching this?
Please, nothing happened to the dog.
Yeah, the dog literally, the dog is the cutest little thing in the world. It's a little fluffy thing. It's like, the boys were being really annoying. I text Jason saying, oh God, he's really annoying. Then the dog appears. Like, I encounter letters text Jason saying, no harm can come to this dog. Later on, the dog does die, which is very sad. I was very sad. But
it doesn't just die. She rings its neck.
Bubba-Duck has possessed her.
Okay, yeah.
He kills the dog. She doesn't kill the dog. But that's scary.
She doesn't kill the dog.
In the book, there is the bit where she kills the dog, so you assume the rest is also going to happen as well.
Did you know there's a website called Does the Dog Die?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm scared to ask what this is about.
No, this is not Babadook related. This is literally an actual website where people like you and I who don't want to see harm come to dogs, there's actually a website called Does the Dog Die? So when you're watching a film, if there's a dog involved, you can actually Google this film and it tells you if the harm happens to the dog, so you can stop watching it if you want to.
That's amazing. Thank you for telling me about that, because I will 100% use that. I love me a dog.
I'm
so happy that's a thing. Let me Google that right now. Does the dog die? Does the dog die? Oh my God, does the dog die.com. Let's put in the Babadook, because we know who he does. Babadook. The Babadook. Okay, click on it. For anyone who doesn't want to watch The Death of the Dog, don't watch from 1 hour in 9 minutes to 11, an hour in 9 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. What films have dogs in? I mean, Marley and Me, but obviously Marley dies.
Oh. Hachi. Have you never seen Hachi?
No. I've heard of it.
Oh my God, that's a true story as well. It's one with Richard Gere, and it's actually based in, like, I think it's Japan or China. I'm pretty sure it's Japan. But it's a dog called Hachi that used to, like, follow him to the train station every day, and he used to get on the train and go to work, and the dog used to sit there all day and wait for him to come home. And every day then he'd come home, then they'd go home together. And one day the dog gets there, he gets on the train, goes to work, and just doesn't come home. And then the dog just stays there the entire time. Like, oh, okay. There's actually a statue called Hachi now as well.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Sorry.
So, as we get towards the end of the film, the Babadook has possessed Mum, and the Babadook in Mum's form is trying to essentially kill the child. And it's not really clear why the Babadook wants to kill the child. He just does. I don't think they go into it.
No, they don't.
And they
just because.
And they try to use the dead dad as an illusion to try and trick Mum into actually doing it.
Ooh. I'm sorry, but How hot is the dad?
So hot. So glad you said it.
Honestly, I was like, he could be my daddy. I was like, honestly, he's so hot. I literally wrote an exclamation mark in capital letters, exclamation marks. Husband equals hot, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation.
Everything I've watched, horror related, all the four, five? All the films I've watched for this Halloween season of Champions of Happy, every guy has been hot. Candyman, he was hot. Elvira, Bob is really hot. Nightmare on Elm Street, was there a hot guy?
Did you watch the second one? Oh, no, yeah, the first one's got Johnny Depp in.
It is a very young Johnny Depp sporting
with
a
crop top. With his nice little crop top.
Not interested in him, though. Okay, maybe the only exception for the films I've watched is Nightmare on Elm Street. But everything else I've watched has always included a hot guy. Oh, and Insidious, he's really hot, the dad.
Have you watched the second Nightmare on Elm Street yet?
No, I'm curious. I want to. Does it continue on for the first one or not?
It does a little bit, but it's
because the ending of the first one really annoyed me.
So the second one is known as like the queer horror film of Nightmare on Elm Street.
I've heard this.
Oh my god, it is so homoerotic and so homosexual in the best way possible. You need to watch it with queer eyes, and it's amazing.
So we'll quickly get to the end of the Babadook, and then we can go on a bit. No, it's fine. It's all good. And then we'll talk about other queer stuff. So essentially, Mum manages to get Babadook out of her body, and she tells him, "This is my house. You're trespassing." And she shouts at him enough that he goes away. But the Babadook goes into their basement, and then everything is then sunshine and roses. Everything seems normal. And then it just seems like they're keeping Babadook as a house guest, and they feed him worms. So I think the metaphor is you have grief, you deal with it, but grief and depression never goes away, and it's always there. That's my initial reading of the film. It's like depression is always there, it will never go away, and it's something you always have to deal with. And grief and all negativity isn't just something that magically solved. So that was my first reading of the film. I'm sure if I thought about it deeper, I could go into it more. But is that kind of what you got from it as well?
Yeah, 100%. So grief and depression are always there for people that experience it, regardless. Trauma, grief, depression, it never goes away, but it's how you deal with it and how you can experience it and how you can like process it as a person. It's a case of, okay, fine. We have this entity that is part of our house. How do we deal with that? So we go down, we feed it. It's part of our world now, but we're going to carry on our life. But every now and again, we're going to feed it a little bit of what it needs. So that is literally what I got from it as well, James. So 100%. The Babadook, in some respects, does equal depression and trauma, which is a bit sad.
But he's also a ghost, all right? Most of all, he's also a ghost. He's a ghost, all right? But he's also depression and grief. And it was interesting when the kid said, can he go downstairs to see the Babadook? And she said, when you're older. So I guess that will also be part of his journey of growing up as well, but dealing with his issues with losing his father and
how you live with it.
Yeah, living with it, I suppose.
But how do you live with it? This is how they live with it. How they live with it now is they live their life, but every now and again they go down and feed it worms.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I deal with my mental issues. I feed it worms. No, I shouldn't say that. So, a few years after the Babadook was out, I saw on Twitter something about the Babadook being gay. But having not really watched the Babadook or knew anything about it, I didn't pay it much attention. Whereas I know you do. Could you please expand on what this queer Babadook thing is for me? And why is he part of our rainbow flag family now?
He's part of the umbrella. But how it started originally was Netflix actually listed the Babadook as an LGBTQ film.
I remember this now. Yes, keep going.
And everyone was like, why? And then someone on Twitter, I think it's Twitter or Tumblr, said, was like, well, hang on a minute. He has top hats. He's into drama. He has pop-up books. He wants to live in suburbia, and he comes out of the closet. He has jazz hands and nails. I mean, he is literally a queer icon. And all he wants to do is just live in a house in suburbia. And that is how it came about that he is now a queer icon. And because of that, Yeah, he literally came out of the closet with his jazz hands and his nails with his top hat, and he was like, "Hi, I'm here."
Babadook
slay.
So basic.
But the thing is, but then other people started deep diving into it. But then when you look at some of the wording, the more you deny it, the stronger I get, which is one of the lines that the Babadook says, which is basically say, like, an invisible threat that's made through denial and oppression, like, queerness is often, like, looked at that from society's level. So the more you deny queerness, the stronger they get, the stronger they're going to come out, the stronger they're going to be visible, and the more they're perceived as a threat, the more they're going to come out and, like, share what they are in heteronormative society. So that is how the Babadook is now a pride icon.
I do love our community, how we do latch on to this, to things and claim them for our own. Yeah, that's ours now. Yeah, definitely gay, definitely queer. Yeah. I can see it. I can see the mirroring aspects of it.
Yeah, and like, honestly, like, when I think of it like that way, I'm like, I kind of get it. Yes, he's like quite harsh, but at the same time, like, when people are tracking these things out into like Reddit and Tumblr and Twitter, blah, 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 it's like, that kind of makes sense too at the same time. So I don't know, it's quite cute, but yeah.
Do you have any other fun facts about the film for us?
I do. One that I found online is Babadook is apparently Hebrew for "he is coming for sure." I know. And the other one is also, it's an anagram for a bad book, which means Babadook. Oh, also, do you know you can actually buy the Babadook pop-up book?
No, I'm good. No.
So which when one, I get you though? For
the original or the...
Yeah. So when I get you for Secret Santa this year, I'm going to buy you the Babadook pop-up book and send it to your house and just leave it on your doorstep.
Absolutely not, Jason. If you do that, you'll never see me again and we'll never speak again. If anyone does anything scary to me after listening to these podcasts, please know we will not be friends. So I think I've asked everyone on I've asked Sam and Dame this, so I'll ask you as well. Did you like Hocus Pocus 2?
I did.
Ooh, can you hear his voice, listeners? He's thinking about it now. He's going to get very serious all of a sudden.
I am getting very serious. The only thing I didn't understand is, why did they start singing as soon as they came alive? Because they're singing a song that they've never heard of because they've been dead for 300 and now, what, 20 years?
Because they're showgirls.
Great. Fine. But... Sarah Jessica Parker stole the show for me. She literally stole the show for the entire episode. So I loved that. Even what's her name? Catherine Jimmy, the way that she perceived herself. She even the little things like having her jaw go one way, Winifred slap her, and her jaw's the other way the entire episode, like the rest of the episode,
yeah,
the film, which is great. So I did like it. I mean, you can't beat an original. The only thing that I didn't like, that's a harsh way to say it. The only thing that I felt a bit uneasy was they made them too lovely. Like, I wanted to have a little bit more grit to them.
Sure.
Like, oh, do you know what I did love? The young girls playing them.
They were so good.
That little girl playing Winifred was, yes. She was literally Bette Midler as a 9-year-old child. She was absolutely amazing. Loved it. Love, 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 love.
They are 100% going to get Disney Plus shorts now, those three girls.
Oh, absolutely. But as a whole, I love the film. When you've got an original that you aspire to is the wrong word, when you got an original that you love so much and you're drawn to so much, it's really hard to bring something back. It was very much made for the fans, which I'm not mad at. I'm really not mad at. I loved it because, oh, I get to see more of the Sanderson sisters. Yay. That is what I'm there for. I'm like, I'm going to raise a gin to the Sanderson sisters. Brilliant. Love it. But it still doesn't mean that I'm going to choose it over the original. So.
No, of course. Of course not. No, no. And I think I've heard that from a lot of people. They enjoyed it, but they didn't love it. I enjoyed it. I actually thought it was really good. But I also understand what you're saying, the whole the witches were a bit soft. But I get it. It's a, we're a different year, we're a different year now as well, where Disney are. I think because the original was so was a cult, wasn't a cult. It was a Disney film, but it still didn't have the restrictions, shall we say, that Disney probably has now.
Do you know what I got excited about though? The one part where Sarah was like, "But that was my one thing that I could do."
Oh, that made me laugh so much.
But then all of a sudden it got to the end and suddenly she had powers. I was like, oh my God, is she the new Supreme? Is Sarah going to be the new, like, queen of the witches?
And then she stands up for herself and then when he tells her to shut up, she's like, okay, sorry, bye.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, she could have been the next one.
Poor Sarah, poor Sarah. Well, Jason, thank you for joining me on this Halloween special episode. It's been a spectacular treat. Let me try that again. It's been a spectacular treat. Having you again on the podcast. It's always a pleasure. Hopefully I'll see you in... Well, I will see you in real life very soon. You're coming
I'll see you in like 2 days.
Yeah, you're coming to see the chorus sing our Halloween show. Ooh. So I hope you enjoy that. And I hope you have a lovely, spooky rest of your Halloween season.
Oh, wait. Before you go, you have not told me what you're going to be dressing up as this Halloween.
Oh, so I'm... So I sing with the London Gamers Chorus and we're doing a Halloween show. We have 4 outfit changes. Do you want to know?
Yes, I do. Of course, okay. I do.
So the first one is a trick or treat Halloween madness. So everyone can do whatever. There were like 200 of us in the chorus. So imagine a stage full of all these gay men dressed up as however they want. My outfit is a bit Beetlejuice inspired. So it's kind of like those colours. The second outfit is a purple/burgundy number. For our Take Me to Church section. So I've got a lacy purple...
Are you an aubergine?
...thing. I am a bit of an aubergine, but it's ASOS, so it's a bit fashion forward, where they've cut out like these little patches in the shoulders for no reason other than it's from ASOS. I do talk about ASOS a lot on the podcast. I do love ASOS. And if you do want to sponsor me, you're more than welcome to. But sometimes you have questionable choices. But I do buy them as well. And then my third look is I'm part of a smaller group called the Performance Group. And we're doing a number from the Addams Family musical. And because of my height, and not because of my lack of singing ability, I am playing the part of Lurch, where I get a bit of a at the end. Which is quite funny. And then the final look is to go with the Rocky Horror Show, where it's a bit sexy and a bit kinky, and it's all red and black, and you'll get to, I'm sure I'll post plenty of pictures of it online for everyone to see. And then on Sunday, I'm going to the West London Queer Project, where drag queen star Elva Day will be performing. And I've got a black lacy top and this like skeleton metal ribcage kind of harness type thing.
Love. On
top. So it's all quite subtle, really. It's it's all a bit fashion. But yeah, that is. I am going to be so. I've been off this week for holiday. I'm going to be so tired. I'm going to need a week off again. But sadly, I am back to work next week. but I will let us both get to sleep because it's getting on quite late now. Thank you again, Jason, for joining me on the Champions of Happy. It's always
my pleasure, babe.
And you're welcome back anytime you want.
Yay.
So goodbye.
Bye, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.